Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Chipper here, 2:08. Chip, excellent Star Tribune columnist, always here on Mondays right around this time. Let's get to the news, which has broken the last 40 minutes or so sports-wise. Elijah Hawkins, who was really good as the Gophers point guard, who had committed to stay with them. Well, we got a backpedal situation here, Chip. It's the portal. It's NIL. It's you never know. He announces that he is leaving this program. Does this mean there's no chance he's going to backpedal again? And how crushing is this to Ben Johnson's program?
Well, I don't think you ever say no chance, but when a guy enters the portal, he's typically going for a reason. And so it's absolutely crushing. What is this, April 22nd?
Yep.
That you lose your point guard, if this is, you know, indeed true. And
best peer point guard in a long time. They've had scoring point guards, but as far as just a distributor, and you think about the U, he's way up there. They've had scoring point guards, not a guy like this guy.
Exactly. It's interesting. Early in the year, I was like, I don't know. He dribbles so much.
Yep.
You know, but then at the end of the year or towards the middle and certainly through the rest of the season, he really became a integral part of what they were doing, just as distributing his defense. And so this is crushing because I think the portal window is only open for another week or so. So now Ben has to scramble and find a point guard because I think you want to bring a veteran point guard in here to pair with Isaac Osama, the incoming freshman from Cherry. I like him a lot, but that would be asking him a lot to take over the club and be the starting point guard from day one. And so, I've talked about this ad nauseum, and I probably will continue, Chad. I just don't think this model is sustainable with the NIL. I don't know what has to happen, but it's just hard I assume this is going to be tied to NIL. And, it's just Dinkytown Athletes has done, wonderful job with Gopher Athletics, particularly football. My understanding is they're a little bit behind or maybe a lot behind in basketball in terms of playing catch up there. So if you're Ben Johnson, you're trying to build a program and your roster is constantly changing. I just don't know what you do.
And you've lost your second and third best players, right? You lose Payne.
Yes.
Lose Hawkins. You get Garcia. Well, we think. You know, I mean, again, it's not done yet. I mean, you just don't know. But that's huge. Okay, so let's get to the Wolves. Wolves are the biggest story of the weekend. There's a lot to digest. Let's start with rebounding. 54-28. Let's go with bench, 41-18. And let's go to Nau, plus 28. We'll get to Ant, KD. But when you beat up a team like that, when your bench pulverizes them, and then you bring Alexander Walker off, and he's that good, not only on defense, but handling the ball, scoring. I mean, he was, I don't know, I thought he was their second best player. That's how good I thought he was. That was a butt-kicking.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just, Ant, you do everything. There were a lot of guys, and again, it's one game, series not complete at all, it's not over, but they rightfully were proud of what they did Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Chad, in addition to those things you mentioned, I think we need to put their defense in there too.
For sure.
I thought they looked like the NBA's best defense again.
You're right.
And for all the, we talked so much about before going into it, the 0-3 during the regular season and the matchup issues that they would have. What game one did was remind us of where the Wolves' strengths are and where they have the advantage in this matchup. Superior bench, we saw that both with Na and Nas. I mean, they have two guys that can come out and really, they could be a leading scorer some nights. I think both of them have been over 20 points multiple times this year. Their defense, I thought, was just outstanding. And
especially from about at some point first half on, because first quarter wasn't super high scoring first quarter, but KD was just KD'ing. And by the way, if they find the fan who started the overrated chant,
I know.
Never allowed in the building ever again. I guess overrated compared to who? A combination of Jordan, LeBron, and Kareem, maybe.
And Chad, I agree with your guy Jim Pete on this. I don't think the defense was necessarily bad. I just thought that was a great player being better at offense.
Yep. That's fair.
But look at the shots that the Suns missed around the rim because of Gobert and Jaden McDaniels. I thought Jaden McDaniels was outstanding.
Yeah, he would have been my third. I mean, if you want to say second or third, I thought by the way, I think people are giving Carl too much credit. I didn't think Carl was very good. I think he made some free throws.
He had that stretch where he made a couple shots. Yeah.
I mean, when they really were doing it, he was watching like me and you. I mean, he wasn't dreadful. He wasn't awful. Yeah. He was riding the bus. You know, I thought Jaden was great because he was aggressive defensively and offensively. They weren't stupid fouls. He wasn't caught up in stuff. The whole team, outside of a little bit of Cat and Ant, and I mean a little bit, they just went back because for a while, I think we both sent a tweet out almost at the same time.
Yeah.
Man, was it physical, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's it.
If it's
played that way, that physical, I think the Wolves for sure win the series because that suits them because of their depth and just the way they play. I thought they handled that maturely, which we haven't always seen.
Correct.
And so I thought that's the other part. So I think their depth, I think their defense, I think their physicality, and then obviously their rebounding. If they use their size like that, I think the Suns got frustrated with it. I think they got frustrated with their size and the way they were being battled. Booker was a non-factor.
Well, let's talk Booker, right? And I'll just one last thing to say. Like, it makes logical sense to post Carl up against those guys. He's just not great at it.
Look at the passes he made. He was better.
Exactly. That's what he needs to do. If you post him up and it's versatile, you know, then. But if it's posted up and he's starting to back him in, and he had the one nice, left shoulder jump hook, right? But he made some nice passes. But just he's got to give versatility. Booker, Booker and Ant are take your pick. Who's the best off guard in the game? Booker, not only was the defense good, but man, he missed some shots that he normally makes. So I'm going to be shocked if Devin Booker is not featured heavily at the start of the first quarter because he's such a great player. And it was combo because they were switching so much. And that's another great asset to Gobert that you think he got him on skates. He really hangs with those perimeter guys extraordinarily well. But, man, they locked up Booker. And then, I mean, there were multiple layups. You know, like, you're Devin bleeping Booker and just missing those shots.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think the point-blank shots, and it wasn't just him. I think Bradley Beal missed a couple. Yep. I mean, it was because of that rim protection.
Yes.
That not only Gobert, but I think McDaniels got a block with his long arms coming. But the Suns are right. When they were successful against the Wolves in the regular season, it wasn't a one-man show. It wasn't just Durant, right? It was Grayson Allen. He had 4 points. Booker. Bradley Beal in the last game had a huge game. So the way that game was unfolding, you don't want, you know, Durant to go absolutely nuts, but I think they were fine if he's going to score those points because Nora said that in the pregame, like, you know that Booker and Durant are going to get their points. The Wolves have to minimize everyone else, and they did that. I mean, they followed the game plan, and I think, you know, we talked a lot about Chris Finch and how he had to make these adjustments and use the week. I think they used that week wisely. I think that staff deserves credit for the game plan that they had, they came with. But really, look at the purpose and the force that the players came with. Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was a mature response coming off, you know, a lot of people saying that, you know, this is a bad matchup and they've gotten killed in all three regular season meetings. I thought they met the moment.
Grayson Allen, who was a big factor the week before, and he gets hurt, but even before he got hurt, he was nothing.
Yeah.
Let's get to Ant. Know this. I mean, Durant's, I mean, my God, he might be the 14th best player of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one area where he slipped a little bit is, you know, what year is he in? 2007 draft. He's not great against the elite players on the perimeter. Smaller elite players. He's still amazing. I mean, he's still one of the five or six best players in the game. But they're going to hunt Ant against KD, because Ant against those bigger guys can do a lot of stuff. And by the way, KD used to be great at that. I'm not saying he's lousy at it, but he's slipped in that area. And so it's not a shock that Ant, that there were a lot of times that they were hunting KD. You know, they don't really fear Booker or Beal either. You know, and and the fun part about it, the video that gained the most traction was Ant talking, and it's fabulous. It's fun. But there was also a stretch where KD was scoring against him, where Ant was just kind of smiling back at him. You know, and, you know, KD wasn't talking as much as Ant was going, dang, you're good. You know, and I mean, it's part of what I love about the NBA. I like the back and forth stuff like that. Some are like, oh, don't talk. Go the other. Knock it off.
Well, and I like Durant's reaction, the smile. To me, that was just mutual respect.
Yes.
Right? That was a you know, an all-time great saying, you know what? This young guy's taking it to me. He's pretty
great.
Good. It was interesting because early, you know, Ant had those turnovers early, and I was watching because
– foul trouble? He had three fouls.
Yeah, because Chris Finch said that week that they're putting two or three guys on it. If you looked at it, anytime he tried to drive left or right, that gap help was there, and I think that contributed to some of those turnovers. So I don't know what exactly loosened up for Ant there in the second half or in the third quarter when he got it rolling.
I think a little bit was the boards, right, because they were getting – Phoenix doesn't make many shots. Wolves are dominating the boards. It's the broken floor stuff. So all of a sudden, then you start scoring. Then even in half court, they're a little more scattered. Plus, then he's got some juice. I mean, and let's not forget, he was great against Memphis. He was great against Denver. He's answered the bell in the playoffs every single time.
Man. Well, the one, he hit that deep three where there is no help. He just pulls up and hits it. I think it's over Bill or whoever. I mentioned this in a column, when he gets that look in his eye, and if you notice, like, before the game, the TV camera's on him, and he kind of had that wry smile.
Mm-hmm.
He loves this moment. He loves this stage. He's 22 and fearless by any pressure that he should be feeling. I think this is when he really shines in these high-stakes moments. And you could just tell, it didn't start this way. Obviously, he had a rough start, but you could tell that he was going to do something special just kind of on his body language and his facial expression there.
So, again, the Memphis series, he was great. The Denver series, great. By the way, last year in FIBA, about 2 weeks in, Steve Kerr goes, oh, yeah, this guy's our best player. Even when he's out there against Durant and Booker and Beal, he goes out there and thinks he's the best player, and most nights he is. H. Lake chiming in, and we were talking about Grayson Allen. And he makes a good point, that frenetic pace, that's not always the best pace for Grayson Allen. And the Wolves did a good job, not just beating him up, but not afraid to move it. I think their one worry, I think, right now should be a little bit Conley. Conley hasn't been very good for a while now.
Yeah, that was a really tough game, and it was uncharacteristic. I mean, like the one foul where he
– his fifth foul was just as foolish as could be. Yeah.
Like, you don't see Mike Conley make those plays. So I have to think he's not going to play that poorly or make those kind of decisions. Now, you know, maybe it was a matchup thing or whatever, but that was so out of characteristic for him that I want to say that was more of a outlier, you know, but let's see how he responds to game two. But if, you know what? It's nice when you can bring Na off the bench and get that kind of production from a guy.
And by the way, if you're playing 9-10 guys, everybody's not going to play great. I just think there have been a few more late-in-the-year games where you're like, Mike hasn't been quite to that level. And then we'll see about Anderson. Anderson participated some today and see where Grayson Allen's at. Okay, let's pause. Let's talk the draft, and let's talk if we still pay attention to the Twins, even though it's April 22nd, because – God, are they awful right now. Chip Scoggins back with us in moments on CCO.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
On our airwaves this evening, I'm assuming this is a 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 first pitch?
100% right.
I'm assuming, Chip Scoggins, you're already at Target Field for this one. Your Minnesota Twins at 7-13, the favorites against the White Sox at 3-18.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
My tickets just flying off the shelf.
Oh, my God. White Sox got awful. Okay. How bad is it, do you believe, for the Twins at this point?
Well, really bad.
That seems appropriate. Yeah.
is that clear enough?
Yeah.
Obviously you're losing your two best players in Correa and Lewis, but this team can't hit. I mean, it's painful to watch them hit. And I hear Morneau say they were 2 for 22 with runners in scoring position in the last series over the weekend.
That's good.
I remember talking to Derek Falvey before the season. I said, Derek, I got to bring up strikeouts. These things are driving me crazy.
Yep.
And, you know, he tried to talk me down and said, you know, if you look at the playoffs, it's not an indicator of playoff success, but this philosophy, it's just a lineup full of guys that, you know, don't make contact, that strike out a lot, that don't come up with the clutch hits. And then the rotation, you've had really poor starts on the back end of it. I think they're in big trouble. And, we don't know how long Cray and Lewis are going to be out.
Well, how about the note today? Aaron Gleeman, The Athletic, had the note that this Brooks Lee situation is more significant than any of us thought. And that he might be out for months and months. I mean, even when Lee got hurt. When Lewis got hurt, you thought Lee would be here, but hurt, let alone when Carlos, you know, what do they have right now? They got outside of Ober's first start, he's been great. Pablo's mainly been very good. Ryan's been outstanding.
Right.
Bullpen.
Yeah. Louis's been bad, though.
I'm trying to go through the guys who are good. Bullpen was really good at the start. Slipping. After that, no one is good. I mean,
no. There's
not like one guy in the lineup you go, wow, I mean, Kirilloff early, but he slipped back. Martin's been fine. I mean, there's like no guy you see in the lineup. Like, they were excited about Larnach the other day, and I'm like, okay, what's he done? He's 4-12, and we're excited about 4-12?
I mean, and the defense has been not good.
No.
They're not making the play. So I remember calling Jim Polad years ago, and he told me it was a total system failure. That's sort of what this looks like now, you know, because it's across the board. I mean, it's just been bad in all areas.
It has. And, I mean, Correa maybe in a week or two, but anybody thinks Royce is going to be back in a couple weeks?
No,
no chance. No chance.
No.
Okay, if the Vikings on Thursday in the first round finishes and they do not end up with a quarterback, is it an automatic failure according to Chip Scoggins?
Yes, and I don't think that'll happen. I don't think they will pass. Whether they move up or stay put, I don't think they will pass up a chance to take a quarterback. So I that would be, because everything, you know, we've heard, and then all the signs and just that they're going to be aggressive and find their quarterback here. I mean, they spent so much time investigating these guys, going to do the in-person interviews and the workouts and gathering all the – Kwesi told us it was a 2-year process that they've been looking at this. So I will be stunned if they come out of the first round without a quarterback.
What is too much? Where if they make a deal to get either 3 or 4, and I don't buy any of this talk from, you know, both Arizona and the Chargers, and it's going to take this historic deal. That's what they're supposed to say. That's, you know,
correct.
They should be saying that. But they make a deal and they get the guy they really like, and you say, okay, they got the guy they like, but wow, that was a lot. What would a lot be for you?
Well, we won't know. And here's did you see the quote from the Bills general manager, Brandon Bean?
I don't think I did.
He was at the combine, and he was talking about Josh Allen and how he got criticized for giving up too much for Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, look, if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
And if it does work out, nobody cares what I gave up.
Right.
And so that's the thing. Is like, if they find a guy and it works out, no one's going to look back and say, man, that was, you gave up too much. And if you give up a lot and the guy is not a, you know, he's not very good, then you're going to have a new regime in here. So I think it's to get to where I think they need to get Drake May. I think you're going to have to get the three. It's going to take your two first this year. It's going to take your first next year and probably more than that.
Yeah, that's what I said you about a month ago. I said, I think it's going to be more, you know, and, yeah. And the tough thing is, and he might be great. Okay. He might be a Hall of Famer. I highly, highly, highly doubt he's going to be great this year. And so then you factor in, and I get it. If he's great, doesn't matter. But
yeah,
it's going to sting on a team where if all of a sudden it was a mixed bag and you don't know it, and then you're looking next year and the seventh pick on the board goes to the New England Patriots, and it really should be the Vikings pick.
I think you're expecting utopia for a rookie to come in and be a Hall of Famer his first year, and so it makes up all the, you know, you don't notice that the capital you had to give up for. I mean, if you do this, this is for a long play, and you're going to have to judge this guy over, you know, multiple years, not just one. And so, yeah, the pain, I mean, sure, but, you know, to get a franchise quarterback, it's not free. You're going to have to give up something that's painful. It's just like any trade.
Unless they love Penix, right? Maybe,
well, that's it.
Maybe
that's it.
Somehow. Because he's the guy who's all over the board the most, you know. Yeah. I mean, there'll be a wave of a few guys will say maybe he'll go 11th, and other guys, no, he's like a second round pick, you know.
I think with him because of injury history, and that's the thing, Chad. With all this, Kevin O'Connell played quarterback in the NFL. He's coached quarterback his entire career.
Yep,
he knows what he's looking for in his system. So,
yep.
If he says, I'm absolutely convinced and I love this guy and he can fit my system and he's going to be our guy, this is why you hired him. You have to trust that he knows what he's doing.
Right.
And so he knows, I mean, are we going to say that we know more than him what he's looking for? So you have to.
But he could be wrong, right?
But here's the thing. Even saying that, there's probably, what, 50-50 chance?
That's what it is. When you look back.
It's not going to work. Yeah.
One more thing, I'll let you go. Even more talk today. I forget who first put it out there that the Falcons are getting in trouble for tampering with Kirk. I think people got to stop getting excited. The idea the Vikings are going to get something out of this. There's no pattern. There's no history of the other team, the aggrieved party, getting to pick. Who knows? Falcons might lose a number one draft choice, might lose a number two, but they're not going to say, hey, the Falcons tampered, so we're giving you the Falcons' number one draft choice. That just doesn't happen.
I don't think there is a – unless I'm wrong, maybe there is, but I've never heard of that. Now, I'm guessing they are going to dock him some picks. Now, whether it's first round or later, I have no idea what the severity of the punishment is going to be, but I don't think they're just going to say they tampered with your player as a free agent, so here's picks. I would be surprised if that was the case.
Good luck at Target Field tonight. I'll be reading all of your reports.
I will be home watching that one on TV.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
34 past 2. Check out Chip. Star Tribune at Chip Scoggins. Parents, responsibility, and punishment. That's next.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.